Welcome to the Real Estate Syndication Show. Whether you are a seasoned investor or building a new real estate business, this is the show for you. Whitney Sewell talks to top experts in the business. Our goal is to help you master real estate syndication. And now your host, Whitney Sewell.
This is your daily real estate syndication show. I'm your host, Whitney Sewell. Today, our guest is Darren Jacklin. Thanks for being on the show, Darren.
I'm grateful to be here, Whitney.
Yes, I'm grateful to have you on the show, too. I've really enjoyed getting to know you just the few times we've got to talk, Darren, and I'm honored to have you on the show. I know you are going to bring tons of value to our listeners and myself today, so grateful for that. But in case you haven't heard of Darren before, a little about him. He is a world-class speaker, corporate trainer, and philanthro investor. For over 23 years, he has traveled to four continents and personally trained over 1 million people in over 48 countries. His talent has captured the attention of Tiger 21, The Wall Street Journal, Yahoo Finance, NBC TV, CBS TV, Global TV, international radio stations, magazines, and newspapers, movie producers, best-selling authors, CEOs, and business experts worldwide. Darren, grateful to have you again on the show. Tell the listeners a little more about who you are, maybe where you're located, and let's jump into your superpower.
Sure. I'm based here in beautiful Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Live here, got a beautiful place here, and Tatiana and myself, we travel globally across the planet, a couple hundred thousand miles a year. We launched in 2019 our own private family foundation for global philanthropy. So we've got a brand new school we're developing over in Uganda, East Africa. And so we make a trek over there a couple times a year. We've got a global team working with us with our foundation that's virtual. So if we're not out there serving, doing philanthropy work, we're doing humanitarian work. I also serve on a couple of different paid boards of directors and advisory boards of public and private companies. One of them is actually a company we helped take from startup to NASDAQ as a publicly traded company. And we have over 25,000 people in that company.
Wow. So, I love the title that you give yourself to, the philanthro investor. I love your all's mindset, just the way that you all want to give and are so passionately giving and helping, people in another country in a big way, in a very big way and very focused on that. And so, you are really good at multiplying money and expanding portfolios. And I mean, it's like your superpower. But I'd love for you to just give a brief just background a little bit from where you came from to where you're at now.
Sure. So I grew up in a small city in Canada here in Swift Current, Saskatchewan, Canada, less than 20,000 people in population. And I was labeled with a learning disability and a reading disability at a very young age. Mm-hmm. And from grade 1 to grade 12 of public education, I was in special education classes. So I didn't go to regular, public school. From grade 1 to grade 12, my whole entire school life was special education classes. So I was a D student in school. And so a lot of peaks and valleys throughout my childhood, lack of self-confidence, self-esteem, direction, and focus. And so at the age of 7, I created my first little company called Rent-A-Kid. I would go out and cut grass, shovel sidewalks, deliver newspapers. By the time I was 9 years of age, I hired my best friends in the neighborhood. The parents loved it because we were out making money, not causing any trouble, being in service to the community. And, as a kid, I was always able to go out in the first world and make money. Then I learned how to protect it and keep it and insulate it. And then the third step that I was never taught in school was how to multiply money. So, I had a situation in my early 20s where I was flat broke financially, living on the streets, collecting a welfare check, and homeless, eating my next meal out of a garbage dumpster. And I learned when I was dumpster diving for my next meal, how to take a couple dollars I would get from recycling bottles and cans and learn how to take that money and how to protect it, but also how to multiply it. So I became very street smart. And today I have a multi-million dollar investment portfolio and I help a lot of people. And a lot of people come to me all the time because I'm the guy that can take the money because I know what it's like to have pain and pleasure. And I've had a lot of pain in my life by not having, a lack and scarcity mindset mentality, grew up in a middle-income family. But I know what it's like to, stretch that financial dollar because I don't know where the next dollar is going to come from. And now I know what it's like to have, passive income and an abundance of prosperity and wealth and keep growing that. And so I'm very good at that. And so I'm grateful to see opportunities from a street smart level and, always look at the downside protection of risk mitigation and then also see how you can see off-market deals. So I'm an opportunist and I can see when people are in crisis, I can see opportunity, how to monetize that and make a difference, not only from a financial return on investment, but also how do we make a great profit, but also how do we pay it forward and pass it on and do some humanitarian philanthropy, do some good with it as a planetary assignment.
Awesome. I appreciate you sharing that. I just wanted the listeners to hear. I mean, most likely, majority of the listeners' situation is not as bad as dumpster diving, you know, and it's still possible, right? I mean, to have success and to come through and to make it. And so I just appreciate you being willing to be just so transparent and help others through your story, and definitely not an easy road to get to where you're at. So, but, you know, let's dive into that a little bit. You know, I love how you talk about this, the downside protection strategy, you know, and you're looking at deals, you know, one of your superpowers is growing portfolios. And obviously, you know, you wanted to be careful about growing, you know, how you grow. But, you know, let's dive in a little bit to that downside protection strategy that you talk about.
Sure. So I'm guilty in my 20s and 30s of chasing shiny objects and the deal of the week. You know, people approach me for all different kinds of deals and, you know, going to networking events and trade shows and conferences and workshops and seminars. When you get a chance to be out there in the public, we're always meeting different people. And everybody's got the deal of the week, the flavor of the week, and they've got all these opportunities. And I'm guilty in my 20s and 30s. I'm 47 years of age now. I feel like I'm 16 with the energy and vitality that I have. But I'm guilty of chasing shiny objects in my past, not going through the discovery process or the due diligence process, taking my hard-earned dollars, putting it in there, and then going sideways. And, you know, I mean, and I've learned from losing hundreds of thousands of dollars over the last few decades of my life and going through that pain and challenges of how to look at downside protection today. So I'm looking at, you know, due diligence and discovery, building your inner circle, protecting your inner circle of people, but also the strength of teams, working on very smart teams of people, whether we're using it through Zoom video conferencing, we have a virtual team, or people right here in Vancouver, Canada, I'm able to pick up the telephone or get onto a Zoom video conferencing call and vet and punch holes and opportunities very, very quickly for downside protection. And so I'm a great asset to be on a team with people when we're going through the due diligence process, because I'll ask the hard questions. I'm going to see things from 30,000 feet. And from my street smarts that I have, I've seen things because I know what it's like to lose money. I know what it's like to have those sleepless nights and being a couple months behind on the rent payments and the utility bills are coming in and I can't pay the utility bills. And, you know, I'm about to get evicted or I have my electricity shut off. So I've had those adversities and challenges in my life from experiences. So I have the history and experience. And so now when we look at opportunities that we're investing in or co-investing myself personally with Tatiana and myself, or we co-invest with other people or work with different family offices or high net worth or ultra high net worth investors, I'm able to see things that maybe most people won't see as a blind spot because of my experience and my history.
Mm. How could you help us as far as, you know, we haven't had that experience and but to really be able to see some of those blind spots, you know, instead of just chasing a shiny object like you talked about, because I think we're all guilty of that at some point or another in our life or investing career, right? We've made those mistakes, but can you help us to help see through those blind spots a little bit?
So key thing is start watching people's feet and not their lips. Talk is cheap. Lots of people talk, you know, on social media, on the internet. You see them at a trade show, an investment seminar, workshop. You see lots of people talking, but you watch the feet. Behavior never lies. And if people are taking notes, write that down. Behavior never lies. One of the qualifying questions that I asked that was taught to me by a billionaire friend of mine is he said to me, he said, Darren, whenever you see somebody, this is how you get a status update from them. So I would say to you, hey, Whitney, I haven't seen you for a long time. What have you been up to since the last time I saw you? And what I'm listening for is for you to give me a status update of, have you made measurable progress? So this startup company you were raising capital for, this Kickstarter program that you were involved with, this real estate investment opportunity you're involved with, where have you made measurable progress in the last 3 months or 6 months or a year since the last time I saw you or talked to you on the phone or had a chat with you online? And what I'm listening for is consistency, is actually, are you moving the needle? Are you making measurable progress? Are you moving forward into action? Because sometimes people get stuck in analysis paralysis where they analyze things to the nth degree, or they have fears, they have doubts, they have worries, where people talk a good game, but are they selling the sizzle? Or is there actually stake? Another thing is too, what I've learned from in regards to doing a lot of investing is a lot of people out there are pitching and selling. But when you're dealing with high net worth investors like myself or ultra high net worth or ultra wealthy families, the key thing is they don't want to be pitched and sold. They want to be educated. Step number one, they want to be educated. And step number two is they want to be informed. And so when I sit down with somebody or I meet somebody on an airplane or I'm at an investment conference, like for example, I was just 2 days ago, I was at an investment conference for real estate here in Vancouver, Canada. Guy sat beside me, automatically starts pitching me. Now, I'm automatically repelled. I'm not attracted to him. I'm repelled. I just can't wait to get away from him because You just got commission breath off the guy. The guy's just trying to pitch another deal. And meanwhile, the people in the room that got money, out of 600 plus people in the room, the people who've gotten net worth and got money and got cash flow coming in, they're quiet. They're on the sidelines watching, observing people chasing the shiny objects in the middle. So the key thing is, you know, always educate and inform. Get around people who are worth a lot more financially than you, who are doing better than business than you, who have a larger real estate investment portfolio, who have more passive income than you, who are playing life at a bigger game than you. And notice them as well, because what happens is sometimes we believe what people are saying from their lips and we don't go through the discovery or due diligence process to realize and verify that, verifiable evidence that really they're in a whole bunch of bad debt. Or, you know, they're living this materialistic lifestyle as show to look flashy on the outside. But meanwhile, they're financially struggling on the inside. You know, they got the fake watch. They're driving the car they can't afford, trying to impress people. So make sure that you watch and observe when you're watching people. Don't enter into relationships or deals right away. Take some time. Massage it. Go slow. That's why I always share with people when I'm on stages a lot of times or panels being interviewed for investment. Take your time and go slow. Be like, oh, you got to get involved with this deal. Well, is it speculation? Is it a shiny object? Because guess what? Just like a bus, another one's coming 10 minutes from now. There's lots of deals out there. But the key thing is there's a lot of junk deals. And then you got to watch the people who have the quality deals that can return the return on investment to the investor. And they're good deals, because when you get around the right people, you magnetize opportunities. I always say to people, listen, there's no shortage of money in the world. Right? There's no shortage of money. You just have to get around people who already made the money, be in the right room with them, you know, in the room, in the deal, and you'd be amazed at what that can do for you over a period of time.
Love it. I'm taking a bunch of notes. I hope the listeners are as well. You know, I think it's great advice to educating versus pitching. Could you maybe give an example of maybe like what that guy was saying, you know, that's pitching? And I think most of us are, you know, understand when somebody's pitching, but I still just want to like reveal that or take away that blind spot for the listener and myself.
The key thing is relationship equity. Okay, I'll use social media as an example, LinkedIn. I'm on LinkedIn, and I get daily a half a dozen to a dozen private messages through LinkedIn daily of people pitching all the time. And there's no relationship equity. It's transactional versus relational. And people that are high net worth or ultra high net worth that are doing well financially and are successful, they rely on that relationship because that trust and rapport has been established and it's credible. And so what happens is people play this numbers game through social media, for example. I'm using LinkedIn as an example, where they just realize, oh, I can go out and hustle and just hit 2,000 people this week, hire a virtual assistant in the Philippines for minimum wage dollars, and have that virtual assistant just go ahead and send into everybody's inbox this templated message that's just sent to everybody. Well, it's transactional. So you're just going to get people hitting the delete button that are educated because it's transactional. So that's a key thing from pitching and selling. Whereas when I go out and I meet people, whether it's in an airport lounge or I'm traveling, what I do is, Whitney, my goal is to find out as much information about you, right? You know, your family, do you have children? What kind of hobbies do you have? Do you read books? Do you attend educational events? Do you watch different types of YouTube videos? I want to know as much as I can about you so I can understand, right? You know, I always follow the medical industry. Prescription before diagnosis is called malpractice in the medical industry. And a lot of times people go to real estate seminars and what happens is people are prescribing, oh my gosh, Whitney, you'd be so good in this deal. You should get involved. Well, you don't even know if I'm the right match. Mm. We haven't even been through a discovery process or a due diligence process yet. I haven't talked over to my spouse or my partner or had that pillow talk, right? So what I do is I just listen and ask questions. Like one of the questions I'll ask people that I'm around, different investors, hey, are you allocating any funds right now? Are you liquid? Are you looking at deployment of capital right now? How much money are you looking to move? And I have these more higher level conversations. You know, what's your risk tolerance level? What's your sweet spot? What's your strike zone? What are you looking at? And I just come from an inquiry mindset where I'm in inquiry, just find out more through the discovery process. And most people don't go through a discovery process. They go, boom, try and close you right away. And what happens is it doesn't attract people, it repels people.
You have to be patient, don't you?
You do. And build that relationship equity. Right. And relationship equity takes time. I deal with a lot of some of the wealthiest people on the planet. You know, they have a lot of gatekeepers and they have insulation of protection. And people ask me, well, how have you gotten access to some of the wealthiest families on the planet through their family offices? We're talking the multi-billionaire level families. And I said, through patience and through building relationship equity. Because when I meet somebody and I build relationship equity by being a go-giver, not a go-getter, and not expecting anything in return, just being a go-giver and just building that relationship equity over a period of time, when I'm not attached to it, sometimes it will pay a dividend, right? But the key thing is building that relationship equity, you build that trust, that rapport, that integrity gets established over a period of time, because people are watching your feet, not your lips, right? Mm-hmm. And so the key thing is when you're dealing with higher level people, you know, one of the projects I'm involved with right now as an equity partner is a $5 billion project, right? In the ultra luxury private island space. And, you know, it's a 10-year project from start to finish. We're in year three right now. And that's patient money. But here's something for your listeners that are taking notes, something you can write down. Here's a good takeaway, is whenever you go to invest in something, okay, no matter what size of it is, no matter what financial size it is, always remember this. There's three steps to it. Step number one is what we call calm money, calm money. Step number two is cautious money. So step number two is cautious money. And step number three is nervous money. So it's calm, cautious, and nervous money. So whenever I go to look at an opportunity, I always ask myself, am I calm, am I cautious, or am I nervous? If I'm calm, it's like a green traffic light. If I'm cautious, it's like a yellow or amber traffic light. And if I'm nervous, it's like a red traffic light. So whenever I'm calm, I proceed, right? If I'm cautious, do a deeper dive of due diligence. Ask an accountant, a lawyer, call up somebody, ask for references, referrals, background checks. Okay. If I'm cautious, if I'm nervous, walk away from the deal. Always trust your gut. Or from my experience, I have a lot of women that work with me on my teams, women's intuition. I am guilty in the past. It's cost me hundreds of thousands of dollars by not listening to women's intuitions. Today, if I'm in a business negotiation or an investment meeting, whether it's virtual or it's in person, I always have women who have strong female intuition in the room because they have got my back. And they can smell things, they can see things that I may have a blind spot to, but I tell you, they can detect it. Tatiana, my partner in life, I'm blessed to have her in my life. She has a BS detector. She was a high school teacher for 35 years, multi-degreed bilingual. And you can imagine being a high school educator for 35 years, dealing with kids with hormones, all the stories that kids would lie to you with. So I bring her into all my meetings. And she's also one of my gatekeepers because I tell you, she can detect things right away. And so always remember, calm, cautious, or nervous money. It will save you your generational wealth. It will save so much stress and frustration when you can just start to develop that muscle. Am I calm? Am I cautious? Am I nervous? Even when I'm at events or dinner parties or charity events, Tatiana will look at each other and we'll go, she'll go two, she'll go three, she'll go one. And I know who to avoid or who to stay away from because Tatiana's getting a read off that person or I'm getting a read off that person of their vibration of energy because behavior never lies, that they're nervous. And you know, your background, I think you were in law enforcement, correct?
Yes.
So if you look at calm, cautious, and nervous, you probably, you know, being on the street all the time as a patrol officer, you probably use that when you're patrolling vehicles. You pull somebody over on a roadside check and you get out of the vehicle with your weapons. Am I calm, cautious, or nervous during this road stop?
You could feed a child for a dollar a day, but what if children could feed themselves and feed their family and generations to come? Leaders Yielding to New Knowledge, or LINK, is a nonprofit organization that focuses on empowering people to form self-sufficient, sustainable communities. It multiplies knowledge, skills, and resources to create a ripple of impact. Most charities feed kids with a dollar a day. LINK aims to help them feed themselves. LINK creates leaders and gives certainty to future generations, protecting their culture. LINK gives a hand up, not a handout. Empower them with LINK. Visit ly2nk.org. That's ly2nk.org. You better listen too, you know, to how you feel, you know, such good advice there. And I've learned the hard way numerous times. And I've learned that, you know, with my wife, she's not in real estate. Real estate's not a passion of hers. However, I can just be talking about something and she, I don't, you know, it just has that sense about it. And I'm like, okay, I need to listen to this. What was that? You know, so it's such good advice. I love the calm, cautious, nervous, just thought process. You know, I love that. And if you're nervous, just don't even investigate anymore, right? Let's just walk away. So, you know, before we run out of time, I'd love for you to elaborate a little bit on how can we get in front of or connect with those high net worth individuals like you have. I know, okay, so, you know, you've helped us change our mindset. Now we're thinking patient. We're going to establish that relationship, try to educate, you know, instead of pitching. However, getting in front of or next to those people is not always the easiest thing, especially you've lived this. I mean, coming from, you know, looking in a dumpster, well, those people are not looking to you, you know, for advice, but now they are, you know, so just give us a couple tips to help us to get there.
So a lot of influential people will support charities or nonprofits or charitable groups or religious groups or foundational groups. So first thing, what you can do, it depends on your situation, is find out if they're supporting a charity or a cause that's greater than themselves, outside of their family. And so if they support a church group or a charity group or nonprofit group, find out if there's a silent auction going to be happening that year or the next couple months. And if you have a business or you have access to some product or services, donate something for an auction or silent auction. Because what it does, it gets you attention, right? It gets you into proximity because proximity is power. Another thing is making a financial contribution. It doesn't matter what size it is, but make a financial contribution to somebody's charity or foundation. Because then what happens is when you're building that relationship, equity by being a go-giver, not a go-getter, okay? So always find a way. The word tips, T-I-P-S, when you go to a restaurant, people say, you know, you should always give the server a tip. Or tips. Most people don't realize that the acronym for tips stands for to ensure proper service. To ensure proper service. That's where the word tips comes from, to ensure proper service. So if you look at to ensure proper service, when should you tip? Up front. So in finer dining restaurants, the people that are coming in tip the server up front so they can manage the expectations of having incredible, outstanding service. So same thing when you're around people of influence, you know, go to the country clubs, go to the dinner parties, go to the fundraising events, get around people. So there's two types of people. There's people who've got money problems that have a lot of money. Like, so my friends, if you came to one of my dinner parties, you would hear conversations of people making so much money, they don't know what to do with it. Okay. Cause they have multiple revenue streams coming in. They're going through a liquidity event. You know, they've got multi-million or, you know, tens of millions or hundreds of millions of dollars, or even the billions of dollars of real estate investment portfolios. So they got that. Then there's people who have a lack of money that never have any money, right? Or paycheck to paycheck or lack and scarcity mindset. So the key thing is take some inventory, write in a journal or a piece of paper. Who are you spending time with? And think to yourself, man, I got to in the next 90 days, get in front of people who've got financial problems. They've got so much cash coming in. They're looking to deploy it into income producing assets that I can make introductions for, help people with. You don't have to have money. You just have to know if you have got money looking for deployment and then find a way to structure things that are fair across the board in integrity, win-win, and get a piece of that. And that comes from education and working on yourself. And you know, there's lots of videos on YouTube and books you can read and courses you can take and people you can get around to educate and inform you on that. But the key thing is proximity is power. So what I do with a lot of influential people around the world, I'm always being that go-giver first and building that relationship equity. And I make it relational versus transactional.
Love it. Wow. I wish you and I could just talk about this for a couple more hours, but unfortunately we're getting low on time, Darren, but just amazing value that you're providing. And I'm so grateful, but just a few questions though, before we do run out of time, you know, you're so experienced in investing now too. What's been the hardest part though of this syndication process or business for you?
I think the hardest part is people feel in full transparency. What I resonate with is authenticity and vulnerability, right? Just full transparency, put all your cards on the table. And so we're going through the discovery process of due diligence partners, because I get approached all the time, people wanting to give me money and partner and co-invest things. And I'm open to having conversations with people. But what I respect and admire the most, myself, Tatiana, my team and I, is just full transparency. Just put all your cards on the table, be authentic and vulnerable. Because if you've got skeletons in your closet, we've got a very strong due diligence team that will find them. We'll find out where the people are buried. So if you've made mistakes in the past, you've been involved in litigation, tax problems, divorce, child custody problems, maybe you don't have the greatest credit rating or credit score, just put all your cards on the table and be full transparency with us. Just be right up front. We call it the integrity test. And sometimes when we're in discovery, Tatiana and I, or some of the people on our team, we'll ask you specific questions as part of the discovery process, because we're testing your integrity. Because we believe that without integrity, nothing works. There's no workability without integrity. And that's foundational. It's a core principle of ours. And so for us, if we can't establish off the bat that we're calm with meeting you and that you don't have integrity, and that you'll sell out on your integrity, we don't want to be involved with you. Because we have a philosophy with what we do, that we love to work with people all over the planet. But we have a mindset that we invite everybody to co-invest and be a part of what we're doing with some of the projects. Because to me, what drives me is philanthropy and humanitarian projects. But the thing is, we're always looking for that one. If we invite everybody to a pool party, as an example, we got a couple hundred people, we're at a hotel, we're having a big investor pool party. one person pees in that swimming pool, it ruins the experience for everybody who was invited to that pool party. So we're always mindful of who's going to be that one person that's going to pee in the swimming pool and ruin the experience for everybody else that's there for the day. And so that's what we do in terms of vetting people, is making sure nobody pees in our pool, because otherwise we have a great experience for everyone.
Wow. How are you prepared for this potential downturn that everybody's talking about?
Strong balance sheet and liquid cash.
Hmm. What about a way that you've recently improved your business that we could apply to ours?
You know what? Have strong accounting. And also too, is I'll give a great example. When people do up business contracts, they go to a business attorney or a business lawyer and they use templates. But always today, in the world we live in today, have a trial lawyer look to see if he or she can blow up your business contract. Because if there's ever a litigation, and I'm grateful I've never been in litigation because we build strong relationships. But if there's ever a chance for litigation, the business lawyer who wrote up your business contracts, him or her, is never going to go into a courtroom to defend you. It's going to be a trial lawyer. So what all you do is hire a business lawyer, but get another set of eyeballs with a trial lawyer to blow up that business contract, to punch holes in it, to mitigate the exposure to risks and liabilities.
Over 500 shows, I've never heard anybody say that before. It's incredible. That's such a good advice. So, Darren, what about a way that you've seen people stand out in your mind as far as the relationship with investors, you know, between operators and investors?
Great point. So we call it the 95-5 principle. So 95% of the things that you do every day, you're doing it right in your business. But it's the 5% that's the blind spot. I'll just use a quick example because it's visual. You go to a hotel, okay? You pull up to a well-branded name hotel and you pull up and there's cigarette butts in the parking lot. There's gravel in the parking lot. There's Slurpee cups. There's, you know, there's fingerprints on the windows. There's a couple of burnout light bulbs. That's the 5%. So what Tetian and I always focus on, everything that we do, we're doing 95% right. But what's the 5%? The attention's in the little details. It's like when you go to a luxury resort, right? It's how the bath towels feel, the toilet paper, the smells of the shampoos, the conditioners, the lighting, the ambiance, the HVAC system pumps in perfume. Right? All these little things make such a big difference. And so when you're dealing with more successful, more influential, more affluent people at the higher levels, the attention's in the small little details. It's so important. It's a 95-5 principle. Pay attention to the 5%. And so what I do is I always have people come out whenever we're doing something, whether it's brochures, it's a website, you're doing a presentation, you're doing a dinner party. I have people I purposely plant and bring out that are friends of mine that are skeptical by nature. They're perfectionists. They have the highest standard of class and quality, because I want them to always be punching holes in it and giving us positive constructive feedback so we can always be leveling up and skilling up to another level, right? So I always ask in our debrief with our teams, that call went great, that meeting went great, this new joint venture partnership, this new opportunities we're involved with, but what can we do better? What's the 5%? What's our blind spot? What are we missing? How can we level up and skill up? And if you focus on the 5%, that's a competitive advantage. You watch how people and opportunities will start to come to you, because remember this, never assume that you aren't being observed. Never assume you aren't being observed. We're always being watched and we're always being observed. And so when you focus on that 5%, you will be watched and observed from a whole different level, from people that will come into your life because they see that this person is best in class with best practices. They operate from honesty and integrity, authenticity, vulnerability, full transparency, and they have an incredible culture that they want to be a part of, because they know that if they come there, if they're invested with you, their money's protected, it's safe, and they grow a long-term relationship that's relational versus transactional with you. And that's the 5% that makes all the difference.
Wow. I'm going to go back and listen to the show numerous times, Darren, just so you know. That's incredible. So the one thing that's contributed to your success?
Constant, never-ending improvement. Personal growth and development. Turning my vehicle into a mobile classroom. When I'm on an airplane, listen to educational audios. Reading a minimum of 10 pages a day. Always be learning, observing. Be best in class, right? Spend thousands of hours learning what you're good at. That sweet spot, that strike zone of what's your best, and learn how to master that. So I would say constant, never ending improvement, to always be growing and developing and making myself better and better and better so I get a better version of myself.
Hmm. And Darren, I always ask every guest at the end how they like to give back. And I, you know, love to hear more about your family foundation or anything you'd like to share about. Yeah, I know it's such a big part of who you all are.
You know, what's interesting is we talk about give back. I believe just give. right? People always believe that you have to be at a certain standard or a certain level in life to give back. What if we just start giving, right? Whether it's a smile at the grocery store, it's letting somebody who needs to rush in traffic, just give. Titi and I are blessed in our life now to have our own private family foundation called Link Foundation. And if you go to darrenjacklin.com, you'll see a link on the website for that. But we are building, our goal is to give $100 million over the next 20 years. So through our family foundation for global philanthropy projects, we live to give because we believe the secret to living is giving. Titi and I are not motivated by money. We're motivated by freedom and making a contribution in the planet and helping out less fortunate people through education. So right now we're very focused on building schools in third world countries for a couple of reasons. One is education and to minimize the impact of child sex trafficking because it's rampant around the planet right now is child sex trafficking. And it's not just the child sex trafficking today. It's now what they call organ harvesting. There are people around the world who are corrupt, who take these small, little, innocent little girls and little boys, and they look at them as commodities, as monetization of their little bodies. And once they're used and abused through child sex trafficking between the ages of 6 and 11, 12 years of age, they're so abused and mistreated, these young little girls and boys, they then take their vital organs and they harvest them on the black market or on the dark web of the internet for profit. So our foundation, it's the people that we're around, are committed to disrupting that through education and through other things that we're doing to make a difference in the world. If anybody wants to be a part of that and learn more, just reach out to me through darrenjacklin.com and we can arrange a discovery call or have you meet myself or some of our team members to have a collaborative conversation. And if you ever want to come to Africa, we're doing some stuff in Uganda, East Africa right now. You want to go on an African safari or gorilla trek and have an experience and get around some great people you can network with and collaborate and brainstorm and mastermind with. And as your planetary assignment to give or give back to the planet that we're taking all these natural resources and consuming, then reach out to us because we go a few times a year over to Uganda, East Africa, and we have so much fun. We dream build together. We mind share together through a collective intelligence of like-minded people. And it's we create mark-the-moment experiences that are so much fun, but also we make a difference in people's lives that can never, ever repay us. And it's priceless what we do. And it's incredible, the experience and the feelings you get when you can bring in clean drinking water, provide education, and do things for people that, you know, are just living life, but it's such a grateful experience. And you get a chance to be around like-minded people to share those experiences with that come back and you become a changed human being when you go through those experiences. And I encourage everybody to consider, you know, as part of their planetary assignment, what's a humanitarian or philanthropy thing that you would like to dedicate your life to? Because when you dedicate your life to a cause greater than yourself, you get out of the way of yourself, you become unstoppable, your energy becomes contagious and magnetic, and people just want to be around you because you're making a positive contribution on the planet.
Wow. Well, Darren, your energy is definitely contagious and magnetic. I mean, it's just incredible, the energy I feel, you know, just from talking to you and hearing your passion behind this. Appreciate you sharing that too. I just think in North America, we're so blinded that we don't even realize, most of us, that those things actually are happening out there. You know, and just so grateful for the way you give back. And is there any other way that people can look you up or find out more about the Link Project or ways to find out about your Connect?
Yeah, you bet. Google me or just go to darrenjacklin.com and all the detailed information's on there. There's a contact page. You can reach out to us. Titi and I travel frequently. We're on the road all over the planet all the time. So reach out to our website. There's lots of great information on there. And if you're, you know, if you've got cash right now, you're looking to invest in things, we can have a conversation about co-investing or share some things that we're doing. We're all about risk mitigation and protecting the downside. Titi and I like income producing assets. So everything that we're involved in is income producing assets on a monthly or quarterly basis. It's safe. It's protected what we invest in. We vet it very thoroughly with our team. And then we also are around people who have a prosperity and abundance mindset, you know, and that are relational versus transactional and believe in abundance and prosperity and, you know, not in greed, but want to make a difference by them doing well and their families doing well, but also making a difference on the planet, however they choose to. And so yeah, if people are sitting on cash or looking for investment opportunities, people want to co-invest, they want to get involved in our Link Foundation with our philanthropy projects, feel free to reach out. We'd love to have a conversation with you and make a difference.
Awesome, Darren. That's a wrap. Thank you so much. Don't go yet. Thank you for listening to today's episode. I would love it if you would go to iTunes right now and leave a rating and written review. I want to hear your feedback. It makes a big difference in getting the podcast out there. You can also go to the Real Estate Syndication Show on Facebook so you can connect with me and we can also receive feedback and your questions there that you want me to answer on the show. Subscribe too so you can get the latest episodes. Lastly, I want to keep you updated. So head over to lifebridgecapital.com and sign up for the newsletter. If you're interested in partnering with me, sign up on the Contact Us page so you can talk to me directly. Have a blessed day, and I will talk to you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Real Estate Syndication Show, brought to you by LifeBridge Capital. LifeBridge Capital works with investors nationwide to invest in real estate, while also donating 50% of its profits to assist parents who are committing to adoption. LifeBridge Capital, making a difference, one investor and one child at a time. Connect online at www.lifebridgecapital.com for free material and videos to further your success.